Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." And then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. 90, 365, March 25th, 970, January 1st, 1000, 1033, 1284, 1496, 1533, 1666, 1689, 1736, 1792, December 25th, 1825, March 21st, 1843, October 22nd, 1844, August 7th, 1847, 1874, 1925, 1936, 1948, April 1957, 1967, 1981, 1982, June 8th through 9th, 1985, October 11th, 1988, September 28th, 1992, spring of 1997, is the year I graduated. March 31st, 1998, February 12th, 2006, March 21st, 2008, November 4th, 2008, May 21st, 2011, 2012, May 18th, 2013, September 28th, 2015. 36 years and dates. Can anyone tell me what they all have in common? Every single one of them represents a prediction that someone made in regard to the return of Jesus and the establishment of his kingdom. They carefully combed through the scriptures. They connected the dots. They put the pieces together. In spite of verses like this one in Matthew 24, 36, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." Or this one in Acts chapter 1, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he replied, 'It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority.'" And then the verse that we read in our text for this morning, verse 13, "Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You know, we could spend a few minutes this morning criticizing all these people who claimed to know what Jesus himself did not. We could spend some time this morning making fun of them because they were wrong, some of them more than once. Some of them several times. Or we could do something more constructive and ask why. Why did all of these people over the centuries feel compelled to figure out when Jesus was coming back? I think for most of them it was for the simple reason that it's easier to prepare for a moment than it is for a lifetime. This story of the 10 bridesmaids might be a little confusing to us because our traditions are very different from theirs. But basically, it was customary in those days that the bride and groom would be married at the home of the groom's parents, and they would each process to that place for the ceremony independently of each other, and the groom would be escorted by the bridesmaids. And so that's what's going on here. These 10 bridesmaids have gone to the appointed place, to the appointed time, to meet the groom and to escort him to his home and to enjoy the celebration that would follow. Apparently it's at night, so each bridesmaid brings an oil lamp with them to light the way. Five of them bring an extra flask of oil because they think or anticipate that perhaps the bridegroom might be late. Of course, the bridegroom was late, so late that they all became drowsy and they fell asleep, but at midnight there was a cry that woke them all and with the news of his impending arrival. And so they quickly trimmed their wicks and got ready to go out to meet him, but the five who had not brought extra oil realized that they would probably not have enough to complete their destination. And so they asked the five who had brought extra if they could borrow some from them, and they did not have enough. And so they went to the store to buy some. And while they were away, the groom arrived. The five wise bridesmaids escorted him to his parents' home, went inside, and the celebration began. And the five who didn't have enough, by the time they got back, they went to the house and discovered that the party had already started. They could hear noises inside the celebration that was going on. They knocked and knocked and knocked, but were not allowed to enter. They were too late. You know, this is another example in the scriptures where Jesus uses this wedding feast as a metaphor for the messianic banquet that is to come when he returns for his children, when he returns to establish his kingdom. And we've seen, as we've moved through Matthew's gospel, he's done this time and time again. But his point to his disciples was clear. If they wanted to go to this party, they had to be prepared. They had to be ready. They had to be ready when he returned. And because they didn't know when he was coming, they couldn't just get ready for a moment in time. They had to stay ready for a lifetime. You know, through this parable, Jesus also gives us a picture of what it looks like to be ready. Now, the five bridesmaids that were ready were the ones who brought extra oil. Throughout the scriptures and in many Jewish writings, oil represents good works. And so we could certainly make the case that doing the right things and living in accordance with the teachings of Jesus, that is has something to do with being ready. But we also know that good works by themselves can't save us, that only God's grace can save us. And so we understand that there's more to this story than that. And I believe that more than the idea of good works, this extra oil that the bridesmaids brought along with them represented a commitment to following Jesus, a commitment to living in a relationship with him. You know, bringing along that extra oil made a statement. It said that they were in this for keeps. They were in this for the long haul. Whenever the bridegroom returned, no matter how long he took, they would be ready. Now, the five other bridesmaids, on the other hand, they made a statement too. They made a statement that said, "We'll wait as long as our oil will last us. We're in it for the short term. But beyond that, the future is undecided." The Christians who made up Matthew's audience, they believed that Jesus' return was just around the corner. And so they made themselves ready for that day. You know, they got all their ducks in a row. They confessed all of their sins. You know, they began to follow Jesus' teachings. They made following Jesus a priority, and they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And Jesus hadn't come yet. And one by one, they began to grow tired. They began to give up. They began to return to their old way of living. They began to lose that state of readiness. And see, this parable was designed by Jesus to call them back to that state of readiness, to encourage them to make more than a momentary decision, but a lifetime commitment. You see, you and I face that very same temptation. You know, it's easy to decide to follow Jesus for a season. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the emotion. You know, maybe we were inspired or frightened, as I was, by an end time prediction. I've mentioned this before, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. That was a scary book for a 9-year-old to read. And I was really nice to my brother and sister in those few weeks leading up to that moment. But maybe you saw something like that. Somebody had carefully worked through the scriptures and they had pointed out how those events of the world were perfectly aligned with them, and they had proven to you that Jesus was coming back at a certain point in time. And so you bought the book, you subscribed to their blog, you made yourself ready, you started living like Jesus was coming back tomorrow, and then that date passed. And suddenly your commitment to Christ lost that sense of urgency. Maybe you were motivated by a terrible tragedy. In the weeks following 9/11, they have statistics to prove this, church attendance skyrocketed. Suddenly the promise of tomorrow seemed a little less certain. The same thing happens when we experience a personal tragedy. We find out we have a terrible disease or some other life-threatening condition, or someone that we know has that experience. All of a sudden, God becomes very important to us. Then the world seems safe again. Or we get better, and God no longer matters. Maybe we made a New Year's resolution. We were going to do things differently this year. We were going to go to church more often. We were going to contribute more financially. We were going to serve in a ministry, but life happened. February rolled around. Jesus once again faded into the background. And these are just a few examples. There's all kinds of reasons that might compel us to follow Jesus for one moment in time, but what he wants from us and what we need to give him is not one moment in time, but every moment in time. And I understand that that can sound overwhelming. A lifetime is such a huge commitment. And commitment is scary, especially with so many unknowns. When we decide to follow Jesus, we have no idea where that will lead us. But we can know through the eyes of faith that when we find ourselves at the party, wherever it led us was worth it. It helps me to make sense of what Jesus is saying by comparing this to a marriage commitment. I know that some things happen between a husband and wife that make remaining in that relationship difficult, if not impossible. But something I've come to realize over the years is that if both partners approach a marriage with the right mindset, it can be a huge deciding factor in whether that marriage is a success or a failure. And what I mean by that is if a couple approaches a marriage commitment as the lifelong commitment that God intended, it will make a difference. When they have an argument or a disagreement, they do what it takes to resolve it, or they learn to live with it. They only have those two options. And when life takes a turn that they never anticipated, their spouse gets sick or some other tragedy strikes, they don't abandon ship because they made a promise. And by God's help, they are going to keep it. You have to approach your relationship with God in the same way, because things will not always be easy. Are you going to continue with this as long as things are going well, or as long as you're happy and But when things start getting difficult, you're going to move on to something else? Or are you in this for the long haul? Are you prepared to say each and every day, this is my God. This is who I will serve. This is who I will follow. You know, for a marriage to work, you know, both partners have to approach it with that right mindset. And the same is true with our relationship to God, but one crucial difference is we never have to wonder where God stands. He is committed to seeing this thing to completion. When he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, he meant it. He will always prove faithful, even when we are faithless. God is in it for the long haul. But what about you? You know, no marriage ever ends overnight. You know, it's the result of repeated concerns, repeated issues, continued behaviors. The very same thing is true of our relationship with God. As long as we have the slightest bit of concern about where things stand between us and God, we can renew that commitment. We can reignite that fire. We can be counted among those who are ready when Jesus returns for his bride, the church. And if you've never taken that step, today would be a good day to do it. You can walk the center aisle and be married to Christ. I don't know, this morning we have a lot of visitors, and I know a lot of you well. But as a minister, as a Christian, I can't pass up an opportunity like this one. If there's someone here today that is not ready, get ready. You may not have tomorrow. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we give you thanks today for your word to us. We give you thanks today for the blessing of heaven, for the hope of a resurrection. It's easy to forget the realities of life when things are going well, and then tragedy strikes. Someone we love passes away. The world just becomes a dangerous place. But you have not called us to live in fear. Perfect love casts out fear. You've called us to live in relationship. And we need to renew that relationship. We need to maintain that commitment. We need to be ready, not just today, but every day. And for some people, maybe it needs to start right now. And Lord, I pray for that person who hasn't committed their life to you, that today they would take that first step. They would become one of your children and secure their place in your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.